From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. The federal government is pouring more than $1 billion into Massachusetts public schools during the pandemic. The cash is intended to keep schools open and help students cope socially and academically. GBH Radio's Meg Woolhouse reported the story about how the money's been spent so far. Meg, good to have you with us.
Hi, Arun. Great to be here.
So $400 million to start off with is a lot of money. You talked to parents who wanted to know where it's being put to use.
Yes, exactly, because it is a lot of money. We all know that infection rates are soaring in the schools and there's high student and teacher absenteeism right about now. I mean, people are really burnt out from the second COVID winter that we're in. Well, last summer, back when we naively thought we may have been out of the pandemic woods, Boston touted that it was receiving more than $400 million in ESSER funds for pandemic relief. Now, ESSER stands for, here's the acronym, Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Funds. The federal government would give districts funding in three installments. Statewide, schools got almost $3 billion. So we at GBH, looked at Boston, which got the biggest allocation, totaling that $400 million. It's really a windfall. It's big bucks.
Right. And big bucks, though, that must be desperately needed. What are the ways that people are imagining this is going to be put to use?
Yeah, right. You know, there's a lot of ways that it can be put to use right now, especially at this moment when Boston has a problem with its pool testing program. Many kids and staff are asking if in-person learning should continue, or they want to know what mental health resources are available to students and how schools can help kids who've fallen behind. It's also important to remember that this aid was supposed to help low-income students in the city, many of whom are from families of color who've suffered higher COVID death and infection rates, as well as job losses. They've really borne the burden. So the budgeting of the funds isn't exactly user-friendly, and it can be difficult to know where it's going or how it's being spent. I interviewed Ann Hyslop, who directs policy at the nonprofit All for Ed, and she reviewed many districts' funding plans with an eye toward equity.
A lot of the details about how funds are being spent are not especially transparent. It's buried on a state or district website. You know, you may have to take 10 clicks to find it. And then the document itself is just full of jargon.
So that's the situation in Boston, too. And it's unfortunate because at the end of the day, that $400 million translates into about $8,300 in spending per student in the city. It's not chump change. Boston has received about $155 million of it so far, excluding the city's contribution. And there's also more than $245 million on the way.
So what are we hearing from Boston school officials about this? I have to imagine they want to get word out about these funds.
Well, you know, they say that their website is robust and resourceful. So parents have that. And there is a lot of information there. The website encourages parents to, quote, return, recover, and reimagine with the funds, and touts its outreach to thousands of families, activists, students, and teachers as part of its efforts, part of its outreach effort. A spokesperson for BPS said the district is still in the process of dispersing funds to schools from the second round of ESSER and working with them on their spending plans. But former State Education Secretary Paul Revel, who's now at Harvard, says the district needs to be able to point to what it did, how it improved student education, to really be considered effective.
It's worrisome in terms of, you know, because this is a lot of money and people are going to say, what did we get for it when this is all done?
So that makes thoughtful, transparent budgeting and planning all that much more important.
And Meg, you got the district's budget proposal that it submitted to the state for the first $155 million it received from ESSER. What's in the document?
Well, we posted the budget documents on our website so people can view them for themselves. And in the story, you can also link to a site that shows how much individual city schools have received so far. But generally speaking, many of the allocations benefit special needs students and English language learners who've faced the greatest challenges during the pandemic. Hyslop from All for Ed applauded that. And then there are other line items that are vague or raise questions. things like, what exactly is an academic recovery coach? Do you know, Arun? Because I don't.
I can only imagine. Definitely not familiar with that. You think the district would look like a hero, like a superhero, with all this money coming in, money that can be spent pretty widely and freely because, as you're right, there's not many restrictions, no strings attached, or at least not many. So what's the problem?
Well, parents are frustrated, again, that the process hasn't been exactly transparent. They're also frustrated that the money is moved slowly, and in some cases, not at all. A group of Dorchester parents were desperately awaiting funding from ESSER at the Lee Academy Pilot School in Dorchester because the before and after care program at the school fell apart last fall. So what happened was a group of teachers' aides stepped up to offer before and after school care, and they did it out of the kindness of their hearts, but also thinking that they would get paid for the extra work from ESSER funding. They waited months. They waited 5 months before they received any extra pay for that work. Here's Black Educators Alliance of Massachusetts President Kim Parker.
Infuriating that, again, people don't get what they need at a time when we need it the most.
So there you have it.
Meg, great reporting as always. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Arun.
That's GBH's Meg Woolhouse. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Governor Charlie Baker wants to create tax breaks for renters, lower-income workers, and seniors in his last year in office. Baker delivered his final State of the Commonwealth address last night.
First, let's support parents. The past 2 years have been very difficult ones for families, and our budget doubles the tax break for children and dependents because Massachusetts families deserve a break.
ACLU of Massachusetts Executive Director Carol Rose called the speech a victory lap of sorts for Baker and says it was notable for what it didn't include.
What we need to do now as a beacon to the rest of the country is for Massachusetts to really step up, to pass voting rights protection legislation, to expand our protection for reproductive justice.
Baker has declined to run for a third term in 2022, but another Republican is now joining the race for governor. Chris Doty is the president of a manufacturing company based in Waltham. In a campaign video, Doty says he has experience creating jobs for Massachusetts residents.
First and foremost, Massachusetts has become unaffordable for many of our residents. Going hand in hand with affordability is making sure that our economy fully rebounds and continues to grow. We need to protect our businesses and recruit high-paying quality jobs to relocate here.
Doty describes himself as a moderate Republican. The only other Republican in the race right now is Jeff Deal, a former state lawmaker endorsed by former President Donald Trump. In other news, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu says $40 million is being earmarked for more than a dozen affordable housing projects. Most of the 14 projects will produce new housing in Chinatown, Dorchester, Jamaica Plain, and Roxbury. Wu says altogether, the money will bring 700 income-restricted rental and homeownership units to the city.
Housing is a human right. Housing is health, it is opportunity and safety and stability. And it must be the foundation for our recovery from this pandemic.
A portion of the projects and the money need Boston City Council approval. Once that happens, the mayor's office says construction can begin. And finally, Red Sox hero David Ortiz is headed to Cooperstown. Ortiz was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday. Speaking to reporters after the announcement, he said it's an honor to get in his first year of eligibility.
I can't imagine how New England had to feel about one of his babies, you know, getting into the Hall of Fame today. I'm not even going to tell you about the Dominican Republic. You know, the Dominican Republic is a country that breeds baseball, and it's amazing.
Big Poppy gained a reputation as one of the game's best clutch hitters. He was a 10-time All-Star who helped power the Sox to 3 World Series titles. He'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame on July 24th. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. Before you go, let me tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, All Revved Up. Join hosts and reverends Irene Monroe and Emmett Price as they explore the intersection of faith, politics, and culture. New episodes of All Revved Up drop every other Wednesday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.